This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Alaska's lawmakers remained in different physical and political places on Thursday, and there's no likelihood of another vote on overriding Governor Mike Dunleavy's line item vetoes. Dunleavy issued a second round of line item vetoes, this time on the Capitol budget. Lawmakers in Juneau criticized the changes but didn't vote on overriding them. They didn't have enough votes, with many lawmakers staying in Wasilla, where Dunleavy called them into special session. Dunleavy's capital budget vetoes removed funding for interior gas utility storage tanks, Northwest Arctic Borough school construction, the Prince William Sound Science Center, and eight other projects. Anchorage Republican Senator Natasha von Imhoff says the governor violated the principle of the separation of powers by describing the legislature's decision to use a fund for a project as, quote, inappropriate. She likened the language to Dunleavy's decision to cut judiciary funding based on his disagreement over abortion-related decisions.
This governor is trying to hamstring the two other branches of government. This is the behavior we often see in failing democracies. The last time I checked, Madam President, this is not a dictatorship. We live in a democracy.
Dunleavy spokesman Matt Shukaro says the language merely met the governor's obligation to state his objections to the funding.
The Constitution is clear that the governor has line item veto power, and that includes any item in the budget. So, you know, the ideas that are being put out there that the governor has somehow violated the Constitution by vetoing items, that's kind of a ridiculous claim.
The legislature hasn't decided how to fund the transportation and other projects in the capital budget. But the bill lays out what projects would be funded once the legislature settles on how to pay for them. Senator Bert Stedman, a Sitka Republican, expressed frustration that 21 lawmakers remained outside of Juneau.
When they are not here, they have taken my constitutional rights away from me to stand up and defend my district and ask the entire body here to veto override.
The lawmakers in Wasilla have said that they were legally required to go to that city because of a state law saying the governor chooses the location of special sessions he calls. A lawyer for the legislature wrote an opinion that the law may be unconstitutional. Following the floor debate, there was a noteworthy change in the House. North Pole Republican Representative Tammy Wilson resigned from the House Majority Caucus. She says she made the decision after the caucus removed her from her position as the co-chair of the House Finance Committee for voting against the budget veto overrides.
Everybody in the world should have known that's exactly what I was going to do. They wanted to basically call foul and say that I knew that if I voted, you know, no on that I would be kicked out.
Lawmakers in the Capitol say there's little to no chance that there would be another override vote held today, the deadline for overrides under the Alaska State Constitution. Meanwhile, Stephanie Weider, a medical student on rotation at the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation in Bethel, is already feeling the veto's impacts on her life. Stephanie Weider wants to stay in rural Alaska to practice medicine.
I have no question that I'm going to practice in Alaska.
Weider is Quakan Athabascan and a Huzliya tribal member. She grew up in the small rural communities of interior Alaska, including Galena and Tanana. Weider graduated from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, earning a master's there. She worked for years as a teacher, then she changed course. Now Weider is a student at the University of Washington, part of a regional medical program known as WAMI. She is the only Alaska Native student in her year's class. Weider turned down cheaper schools because she wanted to stay closer to home.
I did have multiple acceptances, but for someone from a really small community like me, it was a pretty intimidating thought to go out of state for medical school.
WAMI reduces her tuition at the University of Washington and lets her complete much of the training in Alaska. But that program is on hold now, as lawmakers try to muster enough votes to reverse Governor Dunleavy's vetoes. Those include a $134 million cut to the University of Alaska. If the vetoes stay, Weider could face higher tuition.
I mean, the thought that my tuition this coming year could be close to $70,000 is pretty mind-blowing when I could have went to university where it was under $27,000. So you get someone like me who comes from a really small community. I don't come from a family of money. The figures are crazy to even think about how much debt I could potentially take on.
And that's not all. The vetoes could cripple the education system that Weider and her mother used and counted on to educate the next generation. Weider's daughter completed high school this year. Weider says her daughter could have graduated a year early, but chose to stay so she could qualify for the Alaska Performance Scholarship, which is now also on hold because of the governor's vetoes.
She has two concerns. One is that she doesn't have the funding anymore, but the other is also the university budget cuts, because who knows if they have to pare down the university, who knows what programs they're going to have left to offer, and is it going to be a program that she wants to pursue?
Weider says she will return to rural Alaska to practice medicine. It's her home. But she worries that Dunleavy's cuts will cripple the medical labor pipeline and make it harder for rural Alaskans and Alaska Natives to get the health care they need. Moving on to climate news, as record high temperatures swept Alaska, many people said the heat was killing them. For Kuskokwim salmon, it was actually true. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports never-before-seen temperatures in the Kuskokwim River likely sent salmon into cardiac arrest.
Earlier this week, water temperatures near Bethel broke into the lower 70s, marking the highest river temperature that's ever been recorded in early July. This spell was part of a heat wave that shot thermometers to their highest point yet across Alaska. During this time, residents along the lower Kuskokwim from Tuntutuliak to Akiak reported dead salmon floating downriver. State biologist Ben Gray says that salmon don't function well past 70 degrees, and the water had pushed just above that limit.
Essentially, what can happen at that point is salmon, their metabolism speeds up to the point where they're having heart attacks and just going belly up and floating downriver.
Gray and his crew boated from Bethel to Akiak to check it out. Along the way, they counted about 20 dead salmon. Warm water is also the suspected cause of the higher-than-normal amounts of parasites infecting salmon harvested along the river. That warm water, it's coming from the ocean. Kuskokwim Bay has clocked about 10 to 20 degrees above average throughout the summer, and each tide, Gray says, pulls that warm water into the lower river.
And that water is pushing upriver, and it's mixing, and we're just having a profile in the water right now where it's just a solid 68 to 70 degrees all the way through.
Meanwhile, residents throughout the Norton Sound region have reported large numbers of dead pink salmon that have yet to spawn floating in warm waterways. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
And in more climate news, the National Weather Service has repaired a broken sensor that malfunctioned in Bethel during the heat wave this past weekend. It had been working intermittently since early June. That's according to Sam Albanese, who is in charge of the National Weather Service office in Anchorage. The office oversees the weather station in Bethel, which collects data so that pilots can decide when to fly or land. Climatologists also use the data for research. But when the sensor doesn't work, a person has to take a thermometer, check the temperature, and record it. The bad news? Climatologists can't use that data because it's not considered reliable for official records. So while pilots can now safely operate thanks to a working temperature sensor, Bethel residents will never know if the heat wave this past week broke temperature records. And finally, official election results from the Calista Corporation board elections are in, and the results remain the same as the unofficial results announced earlier this week. George Guy of Gwethlik, Johnny Ivan of Tuntutuliak, and Wayne Don of Makoriuk were all reelected to their seats. George Guy will continue to represent Unit 4, Johnny Ivan Unit 5, and Wayne Don Unit 6. Each board term runs 3 years. Guy has served since 1998, Ivan since 2013, and Don since 2016. An independent certified public accounting firm in Anchorage certified the results. Voter turnout was the fourth highest in the regional Native corporation's history, with over 59% of shareholders voting. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for news in Yukton coming up.